You're listening to Nick Luck Daily. This edition is brought to you by Timeform, the trusted source of racing data and analysis. By the Racehorse Owners Association. And by the Racing App, in partnership with FitzDares.
Hello, good morning. Day one of the Cheltenham Festival, coming to you live from Cheltenham Racecourse, sitting in the Racehorse Owners Association FitzDares marquee down in the courtyard. And you might well be able to hear the rain pelting down on the roof here. I'm joined by Jane Mangan. Jane, that's got to be where we open up this podcast today. It is very wet and has been all night, 6 mils overnight, and it's going to be heavy ground, I think, for the first race today.
Yeah, they're predicting officially soft to heavy for the start. An inspection tomorrow morning for the cross country, but we'll get today out of the way with first. There could be some strange results. But that said, we've had a really wet winter, so it's going to be consistent with what many of these horses have been competing on all season. But just for the, you know, my hat, makeup, hair... going to be destroyed if I step out now, although it is due, hopefully the forecast is right, to dry up before the first.
Yeah, I mean, no one saw this coming. Everyone was saying, oh, John Pullen said it was going to be dry yesterday. Well, I mean, in all fairness, he was only reading the same weather forecast that everybody else was. Well, indeed. And here he is. Just how soft is it, John?
Yeah, very soft, Nick. Due to go out and do a sort of pre-race walk in a few minutes' time, and with what I've seen, I'm fairly certain we'll be going heavy all over.
I mean, that was way more than we thought we were going to get, wasn't it?
Absolutely. We're up to 11 mil at the moment. Still the potential for a little bit more. Only 48 hours ago, the forecast was suggesting, an odd light shower and maybe 1 millimetre. So significantly more than was forecast.
Okay. The worry is the cross-country course. That looks like it's blindsided you a little bit.
It's been testing for throughout the build-up. We've been heavy soft in places, and that's not changed throughout. And we even had waterlogged in places sort of a week ago. So we knew we'd got a challenge there, but it did improve. We had those five dry days last week, improved a lot. And with the forecast that we got, i.e., dry yesterday as it was, and only a millimetre today, we didn't envisage any problems. But with this rain that we've had overnight and through this morning, there are some areas that are waterlogged and it will be a challenge, but we're looking at what rail we can move to get off the worst of it, and we'll do what we can to get it on tomorrow.
All right, so if it can't go ahead tomorrow, then you're going to try and run it Friday, is that right?
Yeah, we're talking to the BHA now about a contingency that if we're not in a position to stage it tomorrow, then we'll look to try and stage it Friday. That isn't a given. Forecasts at the moment are suggesting that there might be a few showers around on Thursday. We'd really need to see some improvement before then to have any chance for Friday. But as I say, the focus is on trying to get it on tomorrow if we can.
Okay, and if it's not on tomorrow, and it might sound a stupid question, if it's not on tomorrow, do we just have a monster gap between two races?
No, we are talking to the BHA about race times, and what we may look to do is start a little bit later and just extend the gap by 5 minutes between the first four races, just so that we fill that gap with four races rather than five.
All right, that was John Pullen, the clerk of the course here at Cheltenham. Jane, what did you make of that?
The track isn't raced on very much, so let's just wait and see. Of course, we know the Irish horses, when they're here, they train on the middle of the course in the morning around that same area. So I didn't hear any complaints from the Irish contingent this morning, and hopefully as the day dries up, that it'll become, raceable. We don't want to lose that race.
But every Irish trainer I spoke to yesterday, and I spoke to a lot of them, they were in raptures. Beautiful ground, lovely lush covering of grass. I mean, the grass is incredibly long, and the ground is way softer than I would expect on the Monday before Cheltenham.
Yeah, but like I said, this is consistent to what they've been racing all year, and with the exception of Banbridge and a handful of probably predominantly flatbred horses, I don't think anybody will have an issue.
I think we could be in the same situation with Banbridge, don't you, as we were last year?
I'd say look, Ronnie Bartlett has some great chances through the week. Statler in the cross country, hopefully he'll get his chance.
But Ballyburn's got a fair chance tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, leading on to him. But I'd say he's probably in a minority, Statler being a minority. Maybe it won't suit Mystical Power in the first Galileo. You just wouldn't think they'd excel on that. But they could be spread out. And heavy ground throws up unusual winners.
Which means that we could be seeing some unexpected faces in the winner's enclosure, possibly. Then again, Probably not.
So, yes, I do think we'll have some unusual results, but when you have power of numbers, Supreme Novices Hurdle, 12 declared, Willie has 6. So even if Tully Hill blows out, even if Mystical Power blows out, he could still field the first three home.
Yeah.
And that's what's been happening in Ireland.
Patrick Mullins yesterday, speaking to him on Racing TV, suggested to me that Mr. Giff might be the best chance in the Supreme Novices, or at least had been working really well. He'd ridden him a piece of work and he quietly fancied him, which suggested to me they weren't really sure. And if they're not really sure, then does that give everybody else hope that it might, the first race mightn't be a Mullins benefit?
Absolutely. I think this isn't a year where you have I can't believe we sent Constitution Hill off as a joint favourite with Dysart Dynamo, but a clear cut, this is the horse. And I'd say it's the same for them in the bumper, but Slade Steel reverting back, having been targeted the Barring Bingham, but I can totally see why they're avoiding Ballyburn. I think he'll like this rain,
yeah,
because it'll make it less of a test of speed.
That's where I came down in the end, Slade Steel.
Yeah, now that'll suit him, but I think it'll suit Firefox. I think it'll suit Jericho de Repine. And don't forget, Tom Costolo and the Costolo family with Asian Master. You might laugh.
No, I'm not, because I looked at his last run and he's run an absolutely off the chart figure.
Yes.
He can run to a mark in the mid 140s already.
Yeah, and even beating Jimmy DeSoya Turles, I think this is a deeper race than maybe the market's giving you credit for. And then there's a Super Sunday. Super,
they shouldn't have
Sunday.
Been allowed to do that, should they?
Brother to Supa Sunday.
I mean,
it's
come
head scratching.
On.
It's head scratching. First run, Mr. P.W. Mullins. First run for Mr. W.P. Mullins.
There you go.
What do you say? Didn't even win in France.
Anything could happen.
Straight into the Supreme.
Anything could happen. We could be in LeBake territory all over again. Well, the man who rides Mr. Giff and indeed Hunter's Yarn and many of the horses in the colours of his retaining owners, Isaac Swed and Simon Maneer, it's Daryl Jacob. He's with me now. So, Daryl, Patrick Mullins was giving me the proper steer on Mr. Giff yesterday, and quite happy to tell everyone as well. Are you similarly minded?
Yeah, look, I'm really looking forward to his win down at, I know obviously his race down at Limerick wasn't the strongest contest, but look, I'm really looking forward to, he's won on heavy ground, he's done the, hold on, I'm just getting Ed here, he's won on heavy ground, and it took a long time to pull him up. As Limerick that day, Kieran Callan was very, very complimentary about the horse, and soft ground today, I know for a fact it's not going to be a problem to him. So I think he comes in here with a really, really good chance.
And what about Hunter's Yarn, who is pretty prominent in the market? He's got two stable companions to beat. Do you think he's a better chaser than he was a hurdler?
Well, look, we hope so. I mean, that's what we bought him to be a better chaser than what he was a hurdler. So he should be, in theory, he should be two from two, but he was unlucky, he got raced and down to the last, and he just got in a little bit close to the last, and he knuckled over. But if you take it, he's, you know, two from two, you come in here and he's got very, very strong credentials to hopefully keep on improving.
And what about this book of rides for you today? You must have walked into Cheltenham today feeling about a foot taller.
You look at it, even if you haven't got very good rides, you walk into Cheltenham and you feel great about yourself. It's great to be here. It's our Olympics. It's what we train for. It's what we get out of bed for every morning at 5 o'clock, half 4 or 5 o'clock. It's all the travelling, the 80,000 miles we do a year, lots of flying over and back to Ireland to try and find these potential Cheltenham superstars. I'm here. I'm very, very much looking forward. I've got 4 great rides today, and look, at please God, we can just get a little bit of luck on our side, and we can go very, very close to some of these really exciting horses.
Thank you very much, Daryl.
Cheers, mate. Thanks a million.
Jane, let's have a word about the other grade ones today, starting with the Arkle. Gaelic Warrior is now coming in for a fair bit of support, and it seems as though they think they're just going to blast them from the front.
I don't think he'll make the running.
I
think if he makes the running, he'll jump erratically to his right.
So Chambers was saying on the show yesterday, he said, I think we'll rock and roll with him.
I'd love to see it. I think he'd end up in the stable yard.
Do you?
I honestly do.
Because you think the old course is just too sharp for him to adopt those tactics.
I think if he jumped straight in the Barring Bingham last year, all bar the last when he hit the front, beside Empire Pass. He jumps straight everywhere else. Take a lead. There's going to be Matata to make the running. There's going to be pace in here. I think Found a 50 will relish conditions. Now you have Walter Connors on the podcast a little bit later on in the Weatherby section. Solskjaer stood over the road from me in Coolagown. He covered around 40 mares that year in 2016. So the 2017 crop, he had 16 foals. He had two of them reach the racetrack, and one of them managed to win. That horse is Found a 50.
Wow.
Half brother to Yates. Think he'll like the ground.
Solskjaer is a half-brother to Yates. So out of that top Villemaire, Lindenville, wasn't it?
Yes,
Yates?
But, yeah, and he's by Danehill, so a little bit unusual. And I think my mate Mozzie's going to run a huge race. He was, I think, ridden off the pace at Leopardstown at Christmas. He was second to found a 50 there. And if the pace is frenetic and horses are going to come from the back, remember Gabby Nacko last year?
Gavin Cromwell.
Could be something similar.
Gavin Patrick Cromwell, as time form like to call him on the race card.
I think he's going to have a good week. Well, I know the way you're thinking.
Yeah. Well, all the usual suspects will be up again, won't they? De Bromhead, Cromwell, Elliott, Mullins. They'll all be amongst the winners. Of that, there is very, very little doubt. All right, well, let's hear from Gavin Cromwell now, because the more this rain falls, you wonder how he's feeling about my mate Mozzie, for whom there's been quite a bit of confidence coming in to the meeting. Here he is.
I don't know what the measure is, but the overnight rain is obviously a big hindering factor. You know, the better the ground, the better chance. And the only thing is that it is going to be loose, and I don't think it's very deep. So, and obviously it's the first chase in the car as well, so we'll have the best of the ground.
Yeah, and he clearly is a horse that you've come here with thinking he's absolutely bouncing, the way you've been talking.
Yeah, he is. He's in great form. He's very fresh and very well. And listen, we've obviously, we haven't run him since Christmas, and we've trained him for here.
Okay, well, the weather is going to be the big talking point today. Are there any of your horses this week who you think will relish it if it gets really deep?
Listen, I suppose Limerick Lace is one for Friday. It won't hinder. I know the way you're thinking. Stumptown today, I'll be fine on it. Let's be clear about it, it'll be fine. I suppose Canto Bruno is one that wouldn't like it too soft. But that's it.
And you've gone a different route with Let's Be Clear About It. You're in the Turners, is that right? I've just seen the decks.
Yeah. So I just thought, you know, top weight in a handicap as a novice. You know, he's the same rating as a favourite in the Turners. You know, off level weights, I just thought we've a better chance of running well. He's probably not very well handicapped, but I think if we ride him to run well and have him finish, he's a better chance in that race.
Jane Mangan, the champion hurdle today. To what extent has the weather changed the complexion of the race? To what extent does it neutralise State Man's massive advantage, if at all?
It probably brings Irish Point into it further. Brings him a little bit closer, but to be honest, State Man is ground versatile. He's tactically versatile. He's everything I like in a horse, and I can't oppose him. Iberico Lord is by Coco Rico. They tend to handle a cut very well. They've paid 18 grand to supplement him. I think he can make up the places.
Nicky Henderson's was in very good form yesterday, I thought, for a man who's been under siege slightly with Constitution Hill and then all that schmozzle over Sergino. I didn't know whether he'd got to the, well, it's kind of out of my hands now, I've just got to enjoy the week stage.
Yeah.
But he did say, aren't we lucky to be in a position to have, you know, two others to run in the champion hurdle. He did say to me, most people would give their right arm to have even a horse with a chance of coming to Cheltenham. And he said, I've got to realise how lucky we are at Seven Barrows to have, you know, have substitutes.
Yeah, look, Nicky Henderson's been around a long time, but I think this week he's really showed his class as a human being. The day he had Constitution, he'll have to pull out. He did a preview that evening. He did a preview with me the next evening. And he's just taking it all in his stride. He's not dwelling on what's not going to happen. He's looking forward all of the time. Jericho de Ripinay, there's obviously going to be pressure at the beginning of the week, looking towards Friday with Sergino, with Shana Bob, with Shishkin. But for him, he's Britain's winning most winner at Cheltenham. Underestimate him at your peril.
One fewer race.
All right, it's Tuesday, the Cheltenham Festival. Time for the Time Form Perspective, and in person with Daniel Barber. Always good to see you. First day of Cheltenham. Good to see anyone, frankly. Just good to be here.
Yeah, where's Michelle Roos' Scotch eggs?
I know. You've just not timed it right.
The cheap seats.
You've not timed it right. There will be all that sort of stuff coming along later.
I did hope that, you know, when you speak to your parents, I think I've made it, Mum. The day Michelle Ruiz feeding me one of his Scotch eggs.
Well, it could happen.
So to speak.
It could happen by the end of this year.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Episode 1000, maybe.
That would be quite the occasion.
We're planning a big celebration for
that. Yeah, I'd like to be part of that, if that's okay.
Right, I'm going to park this little self-indulgent diversion and get on to the serious business of today. Given what has happened overnight and given what is continuing to happen this morning, how scrambled is your betting minds today?
It's actually slightly hardened on certain aspects. Certainly the Lossiemouth race, the Mare's Hurdle, I think she's been better placed in a champion, not just from the sporting aspect, but from the fact that now she's... And the others will know. Gavin Sheehan will know. You wear it well. Love Envoy and Johnny Burke, they'll know that the hole in Lossiemouth potentially is lack of stamina trying 2.5 miles. When you look back through a pedigree and you see Lord Glitters there, you're not thinking 2.5 miles on ground that has been pretty much saturated.
And nor is her breeder, who we had on the show a few episodes ago. Do you remember?
Yeah, he wasn't quite so confident, seemingly. I mean, there's an obvious thing, isn't it? It's been a historical thing that Mullins' mares are so much better than everybody else's that he can duck and dive around a champion hurdle because he knows they probably won't have to come off the bridle in the lesser race. But I find it hard to believe she's just going to coast round under these conditions when, and referencing the conditions, only 5 times this century have Time Farm called the Supreme soft ground. It's always been less testing that previously.
It's going to be heavy, isn't it?
It may be the first time this century it's been run on heavy at the opening fixture, because I was in the glamorous spot of Bromsgrove, shout out to Bromsgrove, overnight, and that's 40 odd minutes away, but it was still chucking it down all night. It was chucking it down when I woke up, and it's been raining on and off most of the morning.
Bromsgrove, you win the prize for furthest temporary traveller.
Yeah, absolutely.
You may as well just stayed at home.
I know, I could have done, particularly when I was churning down the M6 last evening.
Now, I'm looking at your Time Form race card here. Hottest trainers. WP Mullins, Gavin Patrick Cromwell. Nice to see you've given him his full name.
We're glad to be formal at Time Form.
Alan King, got Favour and Fortune in the Supreme today. Anthony Honeyball, I've tipped one of his horses, Kilbeg King.
Yeah, I can totally see it. He's a proper stayer, isn't he?
And Henry de Bromhead, who's he?
Yeah, well, you can almost double that when it comes to this meeting.
That's ridiculous, isn't it?
There's a mare, one of the potential rivals to Lossiemouth. Well, he runs two, doesn't he? But the one who caught my eye was Lantry Lady, really. When you think of misses a year out of a half-sister to Annie Power, powers through that barely raceable ground at Gowran like it's nothing. So conditions won't be a problem. The bounces may be an issue, but that was a horse who'd been fifth in a Royal Bond.
Did you hear Henry de Bromhead on my show on Sunday? You probably didn't. Mm. We went through quite a lot of the horses, and I said to him, just popped through, the decks popped through at 10, and he just popped Rachel on Tell Me Something Girl, and I said, did she have a choice, and was it obvious? And he went, yes, she did, and no, it wasn't.
Yeah,
he really wasn't sure which way she'd jump, and then immediately Kennedy goes on to Lantry Lady.
Well, I undersold it. He does have three, doesn't he? And she's obviously a Farmer Festival winner. She's got rather out of the habit of winning races. That's one thing I'd note about her. And the Dawn Run that she did win, I didn't think it was a particularly stellar renewal. I don't think it was as good, for instance, as You Air It Well last year.
Can we just close off by reminding everyone of the superiority of State Man over all the others?
Yeah, it's pretty seismic. We discussed this on the show last week. He's about half a stone clear, and
so £7 in front.
Yeah, and when,
and just for those people who don't study this really closely, or people who maybe are listening for the first time this week, what does that equate to over 2 miles in a jump race?
Well, it depends on the ground, but
on this sort of ground,
yeah, 5 lengths or so. Which is significant over 2 miles. And I think the other thing to note as well is it's likelihood of running to that rating. That's the case with our ratings, isn't it? That's what they can do. Well, that's what they have done. How repeatable is that? With him, it's sort of monotonous. He's just metronomic, runs the same race every time. And that is a standard which even the apple of our eye, Iberico Lord, has to raise his game to try and meet.
This is a very nice podcast home, isn't it? You've just arrived a little bit too early. The little Fitzdares decked out corner of the ROA marquee. You've already been served a posh coffee.
Yeah, and I'm just glad you got it so close to the media centre. Well, that was a 25-minute walk, I think.
Come on, you might be fit by the end of the week.
Yeah, that feels very unlikely.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, well, we do live a sedentary life, don't we, in horse racing. A lot of it is just standing there or sitting there. As Jay Mangan's doing now, with a nice posh coffee or tea.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, sir.
Dan Barber there with the Time Form perspective this Champion Hurdle Tuesday. Jane Mangan, let's have a word about the rest of today's card. Are there any horses that you are excited about? Horses that you think have slipped under the radar? Horses that, if they win, it means you've had a very good day?
I know everybody, you know, it's difficult to oppose Lossiemouth in the mares, but I like the Marga pair. I like Hispanic Moon and Langtree Lady. I think.
So we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast before. Mm. People who aren't familiar with these colours, they won last year with Mascara, mm-hmm. and you're going to be seeing them a lot more, aren't you, in the next 5-10 years?
Yeah.
Just explain who the Marigas are, where they're from, and how hard they're getting stuck into the game.
Yeah, not far from me in Cork, Frank Motherway country. Traditionally dairy farmers, they've switched to equines more
so
recently.
Where exactly in Cork
down
is that?
Down by Yall, so around Davy
okay.
Russell
yeah,
area.
Yeah, yeah. I love it, you just said Davy Russell
Davy
country.
Russell area. I think the number of cows has dwindled in recent years and the number of horses has exploded. They're owner breeders, they sell a lot of their stock, they race mares to breed from them, and I think both of these mares were bought to ultimately to breed. They both have good pedigrees. You mentioned Langtree Lady is out of an unraced sister to Annie Power, and she's only ran twice, but I think Hispanic Moon, both of them will relish these conditions. If the more of a test of stamina it brings them into it. I just think they're a big price, and Lossie Mouth is kind of not really a backable price, so unless anybody's doubling her up with State Man, she's not really an option.
And I mentioned to Dan Barber there, I was rather sweet on a bit of an upset in the National Hunt Chase. I just thought the top ones were a little bit, not vulnerable is the wrong word, but I don't have a strong feeling that there is, you know, I don't think Corbett's Cross is a good thing, because I'm not convinced that 3 mile 6 in the mud is what he wants.
Yeah.
I don't know how good Embassy Gardens is, and Salvador Ziggy's the best horse on form, but he bled last time we saw him, and that was months ago, so...
Yeah. I think Salvador Ziggy's chances have really been compromised by the ground. He's a good ground horse in my eyes. I think it brings Apple away into it. I think they ride her a little bit more conservatively than she has in her last couple of runs. I actually fancied her for the Ultima, but she didn't get in.
They could have run her in the Ultima. It didn't fill.
Did it not?
No.
Okay, so they opted to come here.
But I think they fancied running Giovinco in that, but I think the owners wanted to go elsewhere.
Ooh, bit of politics.
A bit of politics, yeah. I
would have fancied her more in the Ultima. But small field, Embassy Gardens is my most, I think, likely winner. His mother improved for fencing. I was very impressed with what I saw from Nace beating Sander Clegane, who's no back number. Sander Clegane was third in last year's Albert Bartlett, and he did it in emphatic style. He blew away the Albert Bartlett chance last year by racing too keenly. I think modus operandi number one, hood on, relax, 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 plenty of time. Bit like Gaillard de Menil last year, Statler the year before. Patrick and Willie Mullins will bring up the hat trick.
If these first time hood horses blow out today, we did this on yesterday's podcast, does that mean Willie's not going to be declaring any in first time hoods for Friday?
Potentially, yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty bold experiment, isn't it?
Willie has horses wear hoods all the time in Ireland.
I know, but if you go first time hood at the Cheltenham Festival, when you listen to jockeys talking about what effect it has on some horses, I've had countless jockeys on my show saying, yeah, he was better without the hood when we took the hood off.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you know what that is?
What?
Making excuses. It's not going to have that much of a detrimental effect.
So you think I'm talking,
Cap
talking
Melodian.
Rubbish?
Horses, jockeys, and they're trained to come in and make up a few excuses. He'll either be good enough on the day or not. He'll either settle or he won't.
Okay. There we are.
I think they can only help. I can never see a hood having a detrimental effect unless you're putting it on It's on the Line or Billaway, who clearly need fires lit. You know what I mean? They need coal in the fire, never mind slowing it down.
Okay. I'm glad you've put a fork in that theory. We can just bet with confidence.
It's not that long ago there was no such thing as a hood and everybody was fine too.
You just shove earplugs in them instead.
You just went to the gym.
Yeah. Get him a bit fitter, exactly. All right, it is Cheltenham, and that means, of course, that we welcome into the podcast once again our resident artist, Liz Armstrong from Elizabeth Armstrong Fine Art, in our usual spot in the shopping village, Liz. And the stand looks fantastic. What new are you bringing to the festival this year?
This year, because it's 100 years of the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
It is indeed.
Unbelievably. Yeah. And so I've created a piece for charity, which is not on the stand, it's on another stand, for all the local charities. But I've also created two original drawings, which represent, in my opinion, the start of the Gold Cup, the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
Right, and just tell me a little bit about them.
The one, the two main ones are, it's the paint is called Let's Go Around Again. It's influenced by my paintings that I did for the Jockey Club in 2015 for the Princess Royal Stand. It's created with coffee, black line with a crayon wash and gold pigment, which is appropriate for the 100 years of the Gold Cup.
So you just mix all that together? Do you mix all the coffee granules with...
Yeah, I mix the coffee granules. Different brands of coffee have different pigments. Some are lighter, some are darker, not mentioning names. But it's a very interesting technique. It's a pigment, so it's very equine, I think.
And what gave you the idea of doing it?
I don't know. I mean, I've always played around with coffee and tea. I really...
Is that a thing that artists do, or is this a very Liz Armstrong?
I think it's quite unique, but a lot of artists do use other pigments, do use probably tea and coffee, but I don't know any personally that do.
Okay.
And then the second one is called Gold Cup Fever, which is, again, about the hustle and bustle of the horses all going round, the anticipation, the jockeys chatting, what's going to happen. They're not sure, but they know what they want to happen. It's to do with all the sort of, yeah, the hustle and bustle of the start of the race.
Love it. And I'm casting an eye ruefully to the left of that piece. And there's Nico de Boinville and Constitution Hill. He's not here, but he is here. He's here in Liz's stand. This is him taking off outside his hands in last year's champion hurdle.
It certainly is. And this piece is created with all my regular customers and clients know, with my losing betting slips.
There are lots of betting slips. What did you back there? I'm trying to have a look. So they're embedded in the artwork.
They're in
Hidden Valley Lake, a fiver on that one. That's gone AWOL. I'm trying to see a few more. Yeah.
Yeah, these, I just feel that when I work at racetracks...
Vauban, I can see in there somewhere.
It's very authentic and it's very in vogue with what's going on at a racetrack. A lot of people don't understand that when you have a losing betting slip, they don't rip it. So you can actually use it in a painting to make money.
Love it. Liz, thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow.
That's fantastic. And have a great day, Nick. And thank you very much for coming on my stand. It's number 47 in the shopping village.
Stand 47 in the shopping village. Liz Armstrong, fine arts and wonderful stuff. All right, well, it is Tuesday, which means that for bloodstock and breeding enthusiasts, we go around the bloodstock world with our friends at Weatherby's. It is very much a Cheltenham-focused segment, however, this week. Just a reminder, there's only one website you will want at your fingertips this week, and that's nhstallions.co.uk, and this is the Weatherby's go-to reference for National Hunt Stallions. And do remember that the winners of the 28 races last year were sired by 27 different stallions. That is something you would do very well to remember. And 150 of those are standing in France, Britain and Ireland are on that website, nhstallions.co.uk. It's free to view, includes vital information, top performers, recent results, upcoming entries and sales results. I'm really pleased to check in with Walter Connors. He's a very, very busy man. He is, firstly and most importantly, a vet, but he's also a renowned pinhooker and a wonderful breeder. He's bought, sold or bred Don Cossack, Envoy Allen, Espoir d'Allen, Mighty Potter. I mean, the list is way too long. But thank you, Walter, for sparing me a bit of time on what's, for you, I'm sure, a very, very exciting day at the start of a very exciting week.
Yes, Nick, it's something we look forward to all the time, you know, because our year seems to start in April and work around towards March. You know, and it brings all the optimism early on, and it tends to bring its disappointments along the way until eventually, you know, we hopefully end up with a few representatives in Cheltenham, because the French said that Auteuil defines their breed, but I think Cheltenham defines our breed.
Let's talk about this week's horses first, and then perhaps we can talk a little bit about how it all started for you. The mare Brighter Days Ahead has been talked up by everyone, including her trainer Gordon Elliott. Tell me a little bit about your association with her and how it all began.
Well, I have no association with her, because I didn't buy her as a foal. I had bought Mighty Potter and Caldwell Potter with Michal O'Brien, that was working with us at the time, and we kept those. We didn't buy the filly. Blaheen Brothers bought her and produced her very well at the Derby sale and sold her on. In the interim, Remy Cotan, who was the breeder, was downsizing, so he asked us, did we want to buy any of the mares that he had before he put them on general market. And we bought Matney then, and she had a cold foal at the time. And there was no science in us getting her. She just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And she's been very lucky since. She's had a foal every year. And, you know, I always tell my daughter, Izzy, that don't have a mare if you can buy her foal. And each week when she comes home from college, she says, when Matney gets another update, she seems to say to me, good man, Dad, you're right, nobody should have a broodmare.
I love that. She obviously is following in Dad's footsteps and loves the game as much as you do.
Well, she does, and that's what the great thing about horses, you know, is the service talking about people at the dinner table.
And you've had so many good horses to talk about as well. Take me back to how it began for you.
Well, my dad was a breeder. He had a vet as well, and he had a couple of National Hunt broodmares, and he bred a few some show jumpers as well. And, you know, he'd been successful with the approach breed down through the years. So that was my introduction to it. You know, we're country people, and we like, you know, the agriculture is what our life is. And, you know, we pedigree cattle, and then we, as I grew older, we got more interested in the pedigrees. And my lean was towards the National Hunt horses. And so I started to pinhook a few foals then as well to complement the ones that we were breeding. And that's what we've done since. And, you know, I was lucky enough to be in Pally with Seamus Murphy, and he goes to France fairly regularly. And, he, you know, we got that part of it up and running. And that was our feeder system. And, you know, we're kind of been very lucky and very appreciative of the chances we've had with horses, you know. And so we've got to find, all we can do is do the best we can with them in the time we have them. But, you know, we have to be lucky enough to be in the right place to source them as well, just at the right time, you know.
And I remember Cool Ground extremely well, winning the Gold Cup in 91, in the mould of horses who quite often did it, won it then, just a very, very high class sort of staying handicapper, really, who translated to the top level. How big a breakthrough, or how big a moment was that for you and for your dad?
Sure, it's a culmination, you know. I suppose every breeder that sits down with a mare to plan the mating, you know, we always said there's only one Gold Cup, but if you know, I always think, no horse, no dream, and then no dream, no nightmare.
and you've been back yourself and done it again. Don Cossack's a horse that you were closely involved with. I always think that he's rather underwritten. He sort of falls through the historical cracks somehow, and I'm never quite sure why. He was really good on the day.
Well, I'm definitely going to agree with you.
Of course, I realise I'm leading the witness.
But, you know, he was always ours. I think for me, his performance in his second bumper was, you know, something that I haven't witnessed very often, where the horse in front, who was subsequently a graded winner, and he was a furlong in front of him turning into the straight. And I thought it was a phenomenal performance then. And I suppose we all thought, superstar, he's going to be unbeaten for the rest of his life. But he was a huge horse, and he probably went through a growing phase and a development phase when he just, you know, wasn't as dominant, and he just seemed to come back to that the year before the Gold Cup. And then, you know, unfortunately he had an injury, and maybe it might have his time in the I won't call it in the wilderness, because he was still running in grade one races, but his that time might have become less exaggerated had he been lucky enough to go back and maybe repeat what he had done the year he won the Gold Cup.
And what I'm interested in addition to your ability to, you know, source a young horse and to breed a good horse and to try and find the best brood mares and use the richest and most fertile land to grow these good horses, is just simply your eye for a young horse. And I want to talk about Envoi Allen, who's looking for another festival victory this week. Yeah, we can all see now that he's a very beautiful horse, but when you clapped eyes on him, what instantly took your eye?
I think, you know, when you say about Don Cossack and Envoi Allen and those horses, I think the only reason I bought those was I was the first to see them.
So again, right place, right time.
I think there's no magic to it, because I think they were obvious all the ways through, you know, and I just happened to be a day or the first time they were on the market, you know.
What about then, Walter, perhaps something slightly less obvious, more of a hunch play, a horse that other people didn't perhaps want, or that really caught your eye for, you know, an unusual reason that went on and exceeded those expectations?
Yeah, I suppose the one that comes to mind there is Espoir de Laine. We sent him back to France to race in a bumper as a three-year-old because, to be honest, his physique was... He didn't grow into a massive, gorgeous, beautiful horse. You know, he was medium-sized. And he was... I actually thought that he would only make his foal price if we sent him to one of the store sales because he wasn't that imposing. But he was... Then when we... You know, he still had the genes and he was a correct horse and... When we went back there and he won a bumper as a three-year-old and, you know, Ken Bannon won a champion hurdle as a five-year-old. So I suppose he was a horse that maybe if we were just doing one thing with our horses, that maybe, you know, we were able to get... He worked out better for us because we were able to go back that French bumper route with him rather than having to sell him, be compelled to sell him as a store. Mm.
I know that you cannot do this without an awful lot of help. Just tell me a little bit about your small but very family-based team.
Yeah, my wife Una does, you know, I'm allowed to go to the yard when something needs to be treated. And the best contribution I can make outside of that is to stay out of it. Because I just come in and confuse the whole thing with saying, why aren't you doing this or doing that? So and she's got Rachel Kiley and Shane O'Brien work with her there. And Izzy, my daughter, is home at the weekends, and we have a young son, Harry, who just, he's only eight, so he's, and my oldest daughter, Charlotte, has not that much interest in it. She's gone off to the financial world, so that's fine too, you know, but it's still a focus for us at the weekends where we're, you know, and that's why we like to have a few pointers, because it's our family day out, you know, it's our Premier League soccer or our GAA. You know, that's what... So horses are have been very good to us in maintaining our family unit as well.
Walter, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. I hope you have more success this week. It seems highly likely that you will. And we'll catch up, no doubt, very soon. Thank you so much for talking to us.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thank you, Walter. All right. Jane, thank you for your time today. Interesting to hear Walter Connors there. He's a man who's had a significant success and is pretty modest about it. Pretty much saying right place, right time. But you don't acquire all those horses by accident.
No, he's a lovely man. The Connors family are a lovely family. I've been on their land lassoing horses in on ponies. We go way back in the Pony Club days. And he has two unraced broodmares. One of them is Matney, the dam of French Dynamite, Indiana Jones, Mighty Potter, Caldwell Potter, and Brighter
Days
Ahead.
That's ridiculous. I can't think of another National Hunt broodmare that's done something like that.
I honestly can't either, and she's not even old. And the other unraced mare is the dam of Reed and Tommy Wrong.
Right.
So High Chaparral mare. And you know what he's done with pin hooking. But he is right when he says if anybody else had seen Don Cossack or indeed En Violin, they'd have snapped them up too. They were two beauties. But Walter latched on to Sholokhov before anybody else. He latches on to a lot of these stallions before they become fashionable. And his impact makes them fashionable because such is the respect people hold him, his judgment in.
And Sholokhov is the sire of, this week, Shishkin. So, could have another Gold Cup winner come Friday. Though I'm not sure he'd want it bottomless ground either.
Won't happen.
You don't think? No, you don't like him, do you? You don't like him.
I liked him for the race 2 years ago.
Right. Time for you to watch while I have a drink.
Now, I just want everybody to know it's currently 10:05 a.m.
Yep. Well, I'm just carrying on from where I was at 10:05 p.m., to be honest. All right, well, Jane, as I said, has to watch now while I drink. The night timber has been poured, which means our good friend Neil Phillips is alongside us. Bobby Burns, amazingly, has arrived from Fitzstairs just as the drink's been poured. Not here first thing this morning, I noticed. Were you still clearing up from last night?
Yeah, very busy clearing up, and a quick trip to the dog sitter.
A trip to the dog sitter?
Dog sitter, yes.
Why?
To drop off my dog.
Oh, okay, sorry. you were dropping your daughter.
Yes, so I had to get to Lovell.
She's not in here. She's not a girlfriend of yours, the dog sitter. No, I thought that was a euphemism.
No. She's coming later.
You were off to see the dog sitter quickly for a quick groom. Quick brush up. Okay. Neil, what do we got here?
I'm going to introduce it. Charlie Lowe here from Nitimba. We've got the Blanc de Blanc 2016.
Charlie's thinking, what have I walked into?
I'm kind of rethinking my steps there, but no. Got a nice glass of wine in front of me. So 2016.
100% Chardonnay.
Blanc de Blanc, 100% Chardonnay looking at variety. It's obviously a vintage wine as well, so you get the particular kind of characteristics of that year. 2015, which came before it, showed at Cheltenham. 2014 showed at Cheltenham last year. This year we're looking at a bit riper citrus fruit, kind of Sicilian lemon coming in there, a bit of tart apricot, and lovely dairy-centric character this year, so lots of clotted cream, kind of creme fraiche, very elegant glass.
It's a very elegant style, this, and actually last year, Nick, we were actually having 1086 from Nitimba on the Tuesday, but this... we've had the Blanc de Blanc before, but I just really like this wine because I just think the aging potential is great. The freshness is fantastic.
It's a good morning, drink.
It is
very crisp, very clean. Isn't it, Bobby?
Very fresh.
Yeah. And Nick, you like your Chardonnays?
Fresher than you.
Well, no, I got 5K in this morning.
You got 5K in this morning?
Yeah, around Boughton.
Who gave you that?
No. A jog.
Should we sort of try and drag this back to today?
Yes.
If
so
you can
recall
any of the horses that are running here. So the world's finest bookmaker has laid which horses today?
Oh, God. Well, I think I told you last year, if Winnie Willy won the first, we're in trouble. But I think if Willy wins them all, we're in serious, serious trouble.
How unimaginative people have been? They've just gone... Yes. Stick them all in.
People like simplicity. So that is as simple as it gets. Mr. Mullins.
Okay. And so what about the first race, though? He's got six in it, and it's not absolutely clear which is his horse.
Well, this is true. And, you know, we never know. We've got a Mr. Pauling horse in there as well. So that could sneak into the top three. And that would be, you know, get us off to a flyer just from our great love of that man.
Just going back on the wine front as well, Nick, just to say as well, we have, just remind everybody, got the Nitimba bus, the Routemaster bus.
It's rather lovely.
Yeah, it's great.
Here in the courtyard, you can't miss it, a sort of pale green.
Big pale green bus sits there every year, so obviously in the orchard.
Yeah, in the orchard, and it's the sixth year that Nitimba have been here, which is the Cheltenham Festival, which is great, which is enjoyable for us all, isn't it?
Brilliant. Fabulous. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
That's a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, and let's round things off. Jane Mangan, you've got some advice for us for today. If people are timely enough, hopefully I'll have this out in time.
I'm going to double up Lassie Mouth and State Man and my Each Way
Shout.
Oh,
shut up. No, come on. Are you really? No.
Opener, my Each Way Shout. What is in the opener? The Supreme.
You're the chalkiest pundit ever.
I'm going to go Each Way Hispanic Moon in the mares.
All right, now that could be inspired.
I think she's around 40-1, you know.
Wow, okay.
Go with that.
That's more like it. You didn't see the gesture that Jane just made as she walked away. All right then, that's it from day one. Thanks to the ROA and to Fitzdares for their hospitality. This morning we'll be here all week. Whether Bobby Burns is going to be here all week is a moot point. He might be, I suppose. It just depends on how the dog sitter gets on. Jane Mangan will be joining me on Racing TV tomorrow and on Friday. And we can expect more contributions from Neil and from Liz. Thanks to my guests today, Daryl Jacob and Gavin Cromwell. John Pullen for his update at the beginning of the programme. It's going to be a testing week for him, as it will be for some of the horses. We will determine to enjoy every last second of it. Whatever you're backing today, whatever your interests are, I hope it's a wonderful festival for you. We will be back to do it all over again tomorrow. That was Tuesday, March the 12th. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you by Timeform, the trusted source of racing data and analysis, by the Racehorse Owners Association, and by the Racing App in partnership with Fitzdares.